I'm going to speak first, and then we're going to have communion to conclude the service today. We're going to do it a little bit different this morning. So thank you, and we'll have some of you back in just a little bit. So good to see everyone today. We appreciate everyone that's here. Anyone that is visiting for the first time, we hope that you received a good welcome and want you just to make yourself at home in the house of the Lord. If you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn to the book of 1 Peter, please. The book of 1 Peter. Chapter 5. And even as I prepare to deliver the message, it will be a little bit different delivery style than I normally do. But I feel so impressed that this message needs to be delivered concise and very clear. And having at times sat where you're sitting, dealing with some things that I'm going to deal with this morning, I know that it's not always easy to listen to a message that, like I have prepared for you today. But I believe the Holy Spirit purposely has a reason for this message to be delivered. And sometimes listening and hearing something that is difficult is an open door for the Lord to come in and do some ministry and healing for us, right? Amen. So anyway, that's what I'd like to do. 1 Peter chapter 5. And before I begin, though, I want to congratulate Bob and Peggy. Bob reminded me that it was 29 years, is it today? Yesterday, that I married them over in the little building. So congratulations. Glory be to God. And it's been a great journey. You know, they met each other in church and just kind of the Lord just kind of took them. And anyway, so we celebrate with you, Bob and Peggy. 1 Peter chapter 5. If you look at verse 5, let me just read it. It says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility." That the idea of a younger person submitting to an older person is genuinely a God idea, and it's a good thing. The problem is, sometimes when you're young, you don't see that the elders have anything they can share with you. And all of us were young once. Some of you are still young, but others, you were young once, and you remember we had that attitude. But what we learn as we get older is that having gone through some things, we have some things we can really speak into a younger life. And so that's where the submission comes in, the willingness to listen to someone who's been down the road. Not telling you what to do, but understanding that submission is all a part of God's plan. And it says, all of you be submissive to one another. You see, we all need to submit to one another in one way or another. And the problem is that we see that word submission as a bad thing. We say, no, I'm not going to submit to nobody. Nobody's going to be my boss. Well, submission isn't about a boss. Submission, in the proper interpretation of the word, is to fit into the place that God has you, has called you to, fitting into that place, whatever that place might be. So it's a good thing. And it takes humility to do it. And that's why Peter quotes a verse when he says, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. It requires a humble spirit, a humility to be able to submit to someone and to one another, and especially to the Lord. When the Lord wants to deal with us, we have to be humble enough to give him permission to do that. How many know the Holy Spirit is a gentleman? And the Holy Spirit will not intrude on anybody who says, I don't want you to come. The Holy Spirit won't do that. The Holy Spirit will be like a hound of heaven in trying to bring you to Christ. But the Holy Spirit's not going to invade and say, you're going to do what I tell you. No. The Holy Spirit, in order to really receive the Holy Spirit and his work in us, we need humility. We need to be humble enough to admit we need help. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. And so in verse 6, Peter writes, and Peter's writing from experience because he's gone through some of these things that I'm going to deal with today. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. If we want the exalting, which means the helping and the encouraging and the raising us up out of a situation, we have to have humility to admit that we need the help. That's where it all starts. That leads us then to my text this morning, which is verse 7. A very familiar, simple little verse. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. All of us have cares. And if you take this word cares and you carry it on out, no doubt he says this because he understands the Old Testament. Proverbs and the Psalms both indicate that God's people have a privilege of rolling their burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain us. And this whole idea of casting our cares upon the Lord is the idea of rolling something from our shoulders and giving it to the Lord to take, for him to carry. So when we cast our cares upon the Lord, we do it because he cares for us. Now these cares, if you carry out that word cares, it can indicate pain, which is what I'm going to deal with today. It can indicate disappointments, letdowns. It can indicate words that someone said to you and hurt you, or someone that you love, words were said to them and it hurts you because they're hurt. And hurts can cause us pain. Now, if it's physical pain, we can put a Band-Aid on it, or we can take a pill for it, or we can rub pain reliever on it or bandage it up. If it's physical, we tend to know how to take care of that. With the good advice of a nurse or a doctor, of course. But emotional hurts are a totally different animal. How many know that? You don't put a Band-Aid on an emotional hurt or a care in the case of our verse, casting all your pains, casting all your cares upon the Lord. You don't put a Band-Aid on that. And so the pain associated with those hurts can last a lifetime, where our bodies will heal itself eventually. But what can we do with this emotional pain? So the title of my message is simply, where does it hurt? Where does it hurt? If you've ever gone to a doctor, he or she will probably, in one way or another, they might use doctor language, but they, in essence, will ask you, where does it hurt? Where's the pain? What are the symptoms? What's going on? And how many know you need to be honest with your doctors, right? You need to be honest with them, because if we're not, then they can't really remedy the situation. So really, in effect, what the doctor is saying to us when we take a visit to the doctor is, where does it hurt? So they can get to the bottom of it. Now, if you say, well, I can't point to a certain place, I hurt all over, then, well, get ready, because he's going to start working all over. But if we say, well, it's this side, or it's up here, or it's down here, then he can, you know, zero in on that. And what sometimes they find is that the hurt that we feel physically here may be caused by something else somewhere else. But the doctor can get to that if we tell him where it hurts. And maybe a more applicable place for this phrase, where does it hurt, comes in when you were little. If you remember, you got hurt and you ran into mom or dad or grandma or grandpa and you're crying and it hurts, you know. And so they probably said to you, okay, where does it hurt? Give me your face. Where does it hurt? Let's take care of that. And once we tell them where it hurts, they specialize on that and everything else is okay, but it's that. And so this morning, the question is from the Lord to someone here today, and I don't know who that someone is. It may be to everyone here. It may be to one person. Or maybe this is just the finish to what all the first service people needed. I don't know. But the question is from the Lord is, where does it hurt? And in order for the Lord, who knows everything, he didn't need us to tell him, but he wants us to tell him so he can zero in on that. All right? So, casting all your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. How do we deal with the pain? How do we deal with the cares that all of us have? And, you know, if you're here today and you're thinking, well, Pastor, I've never been hurt before, this sermon's not for me, then you probably are doing what down around number four or five says. You're in denial. Because the truth is, everybody has been hurt at one time or another. Everybody has cares that need to be given to the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean everybody here is hurting at this very moment. It doesn't mean that. But what do we do with hurts? What do people do with the hurts that we are to cast the hurt or cast the care upon the Lord because he cares for us? And why do we give it to him? Because he cares. And how many know that carries a tremendous amount of weight when we think somebody cares, right? If you've ever gone to a doctor and someone says, well, how'd you like the doctor? And they say, well, they didn't seem to care. How many know you're probably not going to go back? But if you have a doctor that cares, you tend to go back. And so knowing the Lord cares will help us. So number one, I think, in my opinion, and I'm not speaking as a psychologist, I don't have a degree in counseling. I am just a pastor of probably over 45, 46 years who has dealt with individuals that have hurt and had pain, emotional scars, emotional problems. And I've seen these things, but even in addition to that, I have been some of these people. Not everything I list have I done, but some of the things I'm going to list this morning, I have done. Because above being a pastor, I'm also a man. I'm a human being, and things sting for me like they sting for you. Words are sharp, barbed arrows that can pierce deep for me as well as you. I have experienced the pain and the disappointment and the hurts that come. So I can speak to some of these things personally. But some people, I think, in dealing with the cares or the pain or the hurts, like to try to mask the hurt. They put on the smile and they say, everything's okay. We just pretend like it's not there. Now, I'm not saying that everyone who's smiling has a hurt. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that sometimes people try to mask the hurt by just putting on the smile and saying, it's not there. I'll just pretend it's not there. I'll go about my life with the hurt down inside, and I'll put on the smile, and nobody will ever know the difference. But how many know that sometimes doing that, most of the time doing that, only makes it worse, because somewhere along the line, that hurt is going to manifest itself, right? It's going to come out. No matter how we try to mask it, it's going to come out. Maybe in the way that we talk to people, maybe the way we react to people, it's going to come out one way or the other. So we try to mask it sometimes. Secondly, I think sometimes people try to bury the hurt. They try to bury the hurt. If I can just put that hurt in the back of my mind, as far back as I can put it, then I'll soon forget it. And I won't even know it's there anymore. I'll just try to bury it. And I'll put it as far back as my memory banks as I possibly can. So I'll bury the hurt. But how many know the hurt always seems to resurface again at one time or another? It always seems to come up. You cannot bury a hurt so deep that at some time or another, it doesn't dig the dirt away and say, I'm back. Come on, right? And so trying to bury the hurt, trying to say that I'll just tuck it back as far as I can, that really doesn't help. It may have some temporary relief, but it doesn't really roll it on the Lord. Because again, we're talking about casting our hurts, casting our cares upon the Lord, because he, what? Cares for us, right? So we try to mask the hurt. We try to bury the hurt. Some folks try to replace the hurt with other things. They will try to eat the hurt away. If I just eat, I'll forget the hurt. And that's a sad thing, because you can eat 24 hours a day and you will not eliminate the hurt that needs to be rolled on the Lord. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, but if I go through a particular hurt the first thing I want to find is a Hershey bar. Because that's going to make it better. Or better yet, a Mr. Good bar. Because I deserve every peanut in that candy bar. And I'm not talking about those little scrawny ones. I'm talking about the big ones that Jim and Kathy buy me once in a while. So I'll eat the hurt away. But how many know you finish and then the guilt sets in? Or people try to drink the hurt away. And in due respect to anyone here that struggles with alcohol and drinking, I mean no offense towards you at all. Please understand that. And please understand that I have never taken an alcoholic drink in my life, yet I lived in an alcoholic home. And I know what it is to see people try to drink their hurts away. And all it does, you can drink as many six packs as you want, you can take as much Jack Daniels as you want, you can even make it where people can't smell it, and you can use the vodka all you want, but the problem is when you sober up, the hurt's still going to be there. The hurt's still going to be there. I told you the story one time, I'll just repeat it briefly, about the young woman in Coos Bay who came to us and said, I'm an alcoholic, but I want to try to get my life cleaned up before the Lord. She was all of, I think she was maybe 16 or 17 years old. She said, would you help me by taking all the booze that I have away? And I said, sure. So I went to her car and it was loaded with every kind of alcoholic drink you can think of. So I had no other place to put it. I put it in the trunk of my car. Big Buick. Put it in the trunk of my car. I closed it up. Said, I'll get rid of it later. I forgot to get rid of it. And so we were doing something around the church one day, and my pastor asked me if I could help haul something. And I said, sure. And I opened my trunk, and he, whoa. I had some explaining to do. But thank God that young woman did the right thing. Amen? So in all due respect, if you struggle with drinking, I want you to know this. As you well know, I'm not telling you anything you don't want. No, you cannot drink your hurt away. Because when you wake up, the hurt is still there. And this next one, we need to really, really listen to, because maybe our young folks deal with this one more. They deal with the others. But you can't drug the hurt away. There is not a drug out there that'll take away your hurt and your pain that is to be cast upon the Lord because He cares for you. It may do it for a little while, but when that thing wears off, the hurt and the pain is still there. It's still there. If the doctor will just give me a little more powerful drug, it'll help with the hurt. No. No. The hurt is still there. And then this one, I think we deal with in our society probably more than any. I'll pleasure the hurt away. Because pleasures are plentiful. Remember the proverb says, the pleasures of sin are but for a season. Admitting there is pleasure in sin, but it only lasts for a season. And then when the pleasure wears off, the problem is still there. And I think in our culture that we live, that is so pleasure saturated, we think that we can pleasure the hurt away. And you name the pleasure. Everything from things that are really not good for you to things that maybe aren't harmful to you. And yet, when we try to use pleasure to get rid of the hurt, you see, pleasure only lasts for a season. And then you got to have a more powerful pleasure. And then a more powerful pleasure. And then a more powerful... And where does that end? It doesn't end. Until we cast our hurt upon the Lord because He cares for us, we can't pleasure the pain away. So if I can just get enough of something else, the hurt will go away, but the hurts don't go away. Some, I think, try to deny that they were ever hurt. Though they were, they say, and I've done this. That didn't hurt me. That did not hurt me. No, that did not hurt me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, that is the biggest lie they've ever told. See, sticks and stones break the bones, but I can heal the broken bone. Just put a cast on it and I'll be all right. The body will heal itself. But words can hurt. And to say that didn't hurt me, didn't faze me. No, the truth is it did. It was like a barbed arrow that went deep. And we can deny it all we want to, but that deep barbed arrow, every time we live, everything, it just keeps cutting and cutting and cutting. And so denying that hurt is there doesn't really help us. We say, I'm a Teflon Christian. Nothing sticks to me. Phew. Was it Reagan who was called the Teflon president, maybe? Because he was always so happy-go-lucky. But read his biography and you'll find that he had some hurts. He carried some to the White House. He carried some from the White House to his ranch. They're still there. I'm a Teflon Christian. That just hurts bounce off me. Well, I wish that were the case. The truth is that some hurts penetrate. They do. And to deny that they're there only prolongs the hurt and the agony. Some try to get revenge to deal with the hurt. The attitude is this: if I lash out and I hurt back, and if I hurt them worse than they hurt me, I'll feel better. I'll feel better. Vengeance is what I want, because vengeance will take the hurt away. There's a reason the Old Testament, God said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. Because God knew that you and I don't do well with vengeance. Vengeance is a weapon that we are not calibrated to use. That's why vengeance has got to be left up to the Lord's. But see, when we're hurt, we hurt back. I'll just hurt them worse. And I'll walk away going, that took care of my hurt. But the truth is, it doesn't. What we have now is two hurting people instead of one. And finally, although there are more that you could think of, I'm sure, in your own situation, we say, I'll never let anyone ever hurt me like that again. That's the way we deal with the hurt and the pain. And so we isolate ourselves from other people. We refuse to make friends with anyone. We will not let our relationships deepen. We put up an anti-hurt shield. And we say, I'm never going to let that person hurt me again. Now, let me qualify that. There are situations, in my opinion, that probably should be your attitude. There are certain specifics that I won't go into because we have children in the audience. But for the most part, all that does is isolate you. And when you're isolated, we become a target for the enemy, because he knows if he can get us by ourselves, he will take us out. That's why Peter said, submit one to another. We need each other. But they hurt me. And I don't want anybody else to hurt me. And I'm with you. I don't want anybody else to hurt me too. But if hurt is what it is the price of having close relationships with people, I'll take the hurt because I need people. I need relationships with people. Where does it hurt? I think there's a better way to deal with hurts, because we need to cast our cares upon the Lord because He cares for us. I think there's a better way to deal with the pain and the hurt and the cares. And it relates right back to communion. It can be found right in our Bible verse this morning. Cast all your cares on the Lord because He cares for you. But how to do that, I'll cover in a moment. But before we do, let me point you to the cross. And I'm being very methodical in the message this morning, because I don't want to miss a point of what I put down because I think all this is so important. But let's look at the cross. Jesus is hurting as he hangs there upon the cross. There's no question. We see the obvious physical pain and the hurting, but we can also see, if we look closely, the emotional pain he is going through by the words he says. There's no question he's physically hurting. You can't be nailed to what they call the torture stake without hurting physically, all right? But Jesus on that cross was God and man. We don't understand that fully, but we believe that he was fully God and fully man. He felt like any of us would have felt on that cross. And when Jesus said these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? We are hearing the man part of Jesus who has been hurt because he has been deserted. And I want to tell you, desertion is a hurt that goes deep. You just ask anyone who's someone that cared about them and loved them, deserts them. Jesus, I put forth, that statement was more expressive of the emotional pain he was going through. And it had to be because he was the sacrifice that took away the sin of the world. But still the human side of Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? I think it's a direct pointer toward the emotional pain of being forsaken. And then, in addition to that, the words that he spoke, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is an emotional response, I believe, to the very crowd who's there saying, crucify him, spitting at him, laughing at him, humiliating him. Tell me that does not affect Jesus emotionally. He has just loved them and provided and died for them, and yet this is their response? Jesus is hurting emotionally, and he's expressing that pain. How did Jesus handle that hurt? Which, I don't want to say this equivocally, but maybe that was worse than the physical pain. Because there's some situations, let's be honest, I'd much rather have a physical pain than some emotional pains that I've had. And I've had some physical pain, but I'd much rather go through that physically than to deal with certain emotional things, pain that comes. So how did Jesus handle it on the cross? Well, he cast it upon his heavenly Father. And as simple as this is, verse 7, casting all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you, that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. To those emotional scars and wounds, he said these words, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands. I believe that when Jesus said that, I know prophetically what that means, but I think in that statement you can also say Jesus was rolling or giving his cares to the Lord. That emotional pain, everything he was going through, he said, Father, I commit it to you. I commit it to you. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. And then his final words on the cross sealed the deal when he said, what? It is finished. Not only prophetically, but I think what he was saying was, I've given the emotional pain to God, and now it's done. It's a done deal. God has taken it. Hallelujah. And I can die knowing that God has that in his keeping. It is finished. Jesus really did on the cross what Peter says we can do. He gave it to God and said, it's done. It is finished. That's how we can deal, in my opinion, with our hurts and pains. And I don't want to be so simplistic that you just say, well, Pastor said 1, 2, 3, and if I did them, no. There's a lot to this, a lot more to it. But I think we can get the sense Sometimes I think we complicate things. Sometimes we complicate things so much when really it is just a matter of 1, 2, 3. A, B, C. What is that? Number one, how can we deal with our hurts and pains? How can we cast our care upon Him because He cares for us? Number one, we admit the hurt and the pain. And we answer the question, where does it hurt? I think it all starts there. We admit to God that we have a hurt. And we admit to Him, and say their name if you want to, not publicly, but to yourself or in your private prayer, they hurt me. God, they hurt me. And that arrow is still in my heart. They hurt me. And you ask, where does it hurt? God, it hurts right here. Because my heart has been broken. It's been crushed. Admit to the Lord, there's a hurt there. Because I don't think until we admit it to the Lord, if we try to mask it or hide it or bury it or whatever, there's not going to be healing for it. But if we can just admit it to the Lord and say, yes, that hurt is there. This is where it hurts. Then it to number two, and you may not do this, but this is what I do. When we say we give it to God, that's number two. We give it to God. How do you give it to God? Well, for me, I found that an outward expression of an inward feeling is very helpful. And there are times when I've done this. I'll say, Lord, that hurt me. That comment hurt me. That person hurt me. That really affected me. But God, and I just take my hands and I say, I'm committing it to You. And I just literally take my hands as if I'm offering God something and saying, I give it to You. And that helps me. I give it to You, Lord. I give it to You. I give it to You. And then once I've done that, then, number three, is I confess that it is done. It is finished. It is forgiven. And forgiveness is a big part of this, but that's a whole different message. But part and parcel of this is to forgive that person who hurt you, but to say, thirdly, it is finished. It is done. I have given it to Jesus, and it is not going to rule me anymore. Hallelujah. Now, let me qualify those three things with this. Look at verse 8 and 9. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. What Peter understood, and what is important for us to know, that when you go through these three steps, you know, you admit the hurt and the pain to the Lord. This is where it hurts. I give it to God. You confess, it is finished, it is done, it is over. The devil will wait for an opportunity to try to bring that thing back to you. And the devil will say, here, see this? You thought it was gone. There's that hurt again. You know what you have to do? Is verse 8 and 9. Recognize that's of the devil. It's not of the Lord. God took it. Praise God, He took it. What you need to tell the devil is what Jesus said on the cross. Devil, it is finished. No more will you beat me with that thing. I have given it to God. It is finished, it is done, and devil, not only is it finished, you're finished. Praise God. Amen? You have to be bold. We have to be bold like that. So when these hurts resurface by the enemy's lies, we resist him and say it is finished. And then I believe that we can look to our word of the Lord for us today. If the worship team or whoever's coming back would come and our servers, we're going to have communion. And as they're coming, let me read to you what's on your prayer sheet, a word from the Lord for you today. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You don't have to fear the hurts and the pains. The Lord is the strength of my life. He's going to help you deal with those. Whom shall I be afraid? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. As you hold these emblems in your hand this morning, this is what I hope that you will do. And again, I'm not presuming this applies to everybody in the building. But for you that it does, know that Pastor has sat in the seat you're sitting in. I've had to do this before myself. As you hold that wafer, as you hold that grape juice, say, Lord, today I am going to commit this hurt to the Lord. I'm going to give you the hurt. I'm going to tell you what it is, and I'm going to tell you where it hurts, and I'm going to cast my care upon the Lord today, Jesus, right here at this communion. And as I take this communion emblems in a moment, I'm saying it is finished. It is done. I'm asking you to heal me of the hurt and the scars. Because, folks, it's not your fault. The devil would like to lie to someone here today and say, you deserved to be hurt. You deserved to be wounded. You deserve to be scarred. But don't believe that lie. Nobody deserves to be hurt. Nobody. But Lord, as I hold these emblems in my hand, I ask you, as I take them, let healing flow through my emotional body, the spiritual me, bring healing so I can say, it is finished. Amen. Lord, as we prepare to serve these emblems, let this be a very powerful, holy moment for everyone here today. Let it be a moment when we do cast our cares upon the Lord, because you care for us. In Jesus' name. Gentlemen, would you serve the people, please?